So this is week two of our series in Joshua. We are going through the book of Joshua. And if you want to get your Bibles open this morning, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 2, verse 7. Nope, chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7 is our starting verse. And so the series is called Strong and Courageous. And today, we're going to see how we, like the Israelites, we are crossing over into the promise. And for those of you who are married, I know we got a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers in here, so you won't maybe understand this, but you will someday. Who remembers on your wedding day how that wedding day looked? Men, let's start with you. How many remember how your bride looked on your wedding day? Three of us? Maybe I should have started with the ladies first. Ladies, how many remember how your man looked as you were walking up the aisle towards him? Right? Okay, more hands. Men, do better. I remember standing up here on our wedding day. It was right here in this church that Alicia and I were married back in August of 2010. And I remember seeing her walk through the double doors and start coming down the aisle. And it was one of those moments, and this is for all the men, because this is a big step, right? All the ladies, this is what they've dreamed of all of their life. I never once dreamt of my wedding one day in my life, didn't care what it looked like. But there was a moment where everything just kind of hit me at once. All of a sudden, we weren't dating anymore. All of a sudden, we were no longer engaged. This, right now, what was happening is the real deal. This is bringing it all together. And so once she stepped into that aisle from out there and started walking down here, it meant we were moving forward together. It meant no turning back, and it meant that the aisle led us to a new beginning in life. The aisle led us to a new beginning. And that's kind of where we find the people of Israel this morning in Joshua chapter 3. Where we find them is they're standing on the edge of the Jordan River. The Lord has just commissioned Joshua to go, be strong and courageous. I am with you. Do not fear. I am with you. We remember that from last week. They're standing on the edge of the Jordan River. Behind them is the desert. Behind them is the wilderness. And then there's promise. There's a promise that they're supposed to walk into, because he calls us into promise. But they've still got to step out. They still have to move forward, even while the river is still flowing. God doesn't just bring us out of Egypt and then leave us. No, instead, he calls us into his promise. But between the wilderness and promise, who can testify that there's always a river? There's always a river that we have to find our way across. It's never easy. When we step out of the wilderness and walk towards his promise, there's always a river that has to be crossed. There's always a moment that there is a decision to be made. Are we willing to take a step of faith? Or are we going to stay on dry ground and wait for the water to dry up and recede for us? See, what I'm going to submit to you today is that we need to take that step of faith. So this morning, if you have your Bible, open it to Joshua chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, somebody next to you has one, please share with them. If neither of those things are true, we'll have it on the overhead behind me. And here's what it says, starting in verse 7. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will be without fail. And he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. See, Israel is finally standing on the edge of the promised land when they left Egypt, and then they stayed in the desert for 40 more years. And now that Moses has passed and Joshua is now their leader, they are on the edge of stepping over into the promised land. There's just one problem. The Jordan River, it's flooded. It's during the raining season. It's out of its banks. It's flooded. It's huge. It's big. It's scary. And it's not an easy path forward. And God gives them one simple but terrifying instruction. Let the priest carry the ark and step into the water. He promises that once they do, the river will stop. So this is where faith becomes more than a concept. It's not just something we think about, but it comes down to a decision. When the Lord calls us to take that step into raging waters, are we willing to take that step? It's a decision and a choice that each one of us have to make when he's calling us to step into new things in our lives. So let's talk about what that means for us, because this wasn't just a test of the Israelites' physical location. It was a test of their faith. Are you going to trust the Lord or not? Right? There is no other option. You either do or you don't. And that brings us to the first truth that I want to pull from this today for us in today's message. And that is, faith steps first. Faith steps first. And what we know from being in the Word is that God's promises are sure. If you spend any time in God's Word, you know that His promises are sure. But do you also know that He still calls us to move before we see the outcome? What did he call Abram to do? To go to the land that I will show you, not what I have shown you, but go and then I will show you. Also to Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, but I'll provide the sacrifice. Guess what? It took action before the Lord came through. So it's a matter of trust. So the Lord calls us into motion to move before we see the outcome. The people of Israel had waited for 40 years for this moment. Some of us can't even wait 40 seconds because we live in a world that's instant gratification. How many of you want to leave a secure home in Egypt and then go out to the desert for 40 years? Right? That's a tough question to ask. And so they have spent 40 years waiting for this moment. The moment that the Lord promised their forefathers that the promised land, it was theirs. He's given it to them. He said, everywhere the sole of your foot touches, I have given you, declares the Lord. And so right now they're looking across this river. They can see the promised land in front of them. But what stood between them was a swollen river. A river that they had no way to cross on their own. And here's what God did. God did not wait until the waters dried up. He didn't say, camp here for the next 40 days. Let's get out of the rainy season. We'll wait and then you can cross. No, he told them to step right into the flood. Step into that flooded river first. Isn't this how faith works? Isn't this how the Lord has put together faith? Because what he has done, he's already told them about the promise. He's ensured and guaranteed that the promise is before them. He's already given it. But now he's calling Israelite, and listen, the Israelites, and he's also calling us today to trust him and take that step before we see it happen. Is that not the hardest thing that we can do, is to take a step without knowing what's next? See, it's easier for us to want the path to be clear, the path of least resistance, the easy way. I don't want to walk uphill. I don't want to do this. It's easy to want the path clear. We want the obstacles removed before we move. Sometimes we would even assume that because there's an obstacle, that means that the Lord's not calling us that way. I would submit to you, you better double check, because sometimes the Lord wants us to crawl over that obstacle because it's going to deepen our faith in Him. It's not always the easy way. But God says, take the step and I will make the way. So on us is to simply take that step. Some of us are sitting here today and we're waiting for dry ground. We're waiting for the flood waters to recede and the ground to dry up. We're waiting for the numbers to add up. Maybe we're looking at our checkbook and we're wondering, how are we going to make this work? We got to wait until the numbers line up. Maybe we're waiting for the fear to go away. But faith moves before the water parts. Faith moves before the water parts. And that's where the miracle happens, after obedience. The miracle takes place after obedience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. It tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And just like the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant into the water, Jesus stepped into the flood of sin and death. He stepped into the flood and sin and death before we ever moved, before we ever had a breath. He led the way so that we could follow Him into new life. So does that put a new definition on the Lord was eager to partake of the Last Supper? He led the way so we could come into new life with Him. If you want to write this down, faith does not wait for dry ground. It walks when God says go. Faith does not wait for dry ground. It walks when God says go. The truth is, stepping out in faith, it's not easy. Who can attest? It's not easy to step into faith sometimes. Especially when the waters are still rising and nothing around you has changed yet. But here's what makes faith possible. We're not stepping into the unknown alone. And that brings us to the second truth in today's story. God leads the way. We're not stepping into it alone. No, God is leading the way. He is our leader. The presence of God, where does it go? It goes before us, not behind us. He didn't tell Israel to cross the river, and if you make it, we'll send the ark in. No, he told the priests, you take that ark, and as soon as all of you get your feet in the water, I will stop those waters up, and they will not cross this barrier. You will cross on dry ground, but the presence of the Lord, who knows that the ark was representative of the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord had to go before them into those floodwaters before that would take place. So God leads the way. In Joshua chapter 3, God gave specific instructions. The Ark of the Covenant, which represented His presence, I know I'm repeating myself now, was to go first into the river. The priests were not following the crowd, but what happened was the crowd followed His presence. Followed His presence. And this is the pattern that we see all through Scripture. Listen, God does not send you into the unknown alone. Never does He send you alone. You aren't supposed to go it alone. Instead, here's if you need some encouragement this morning, He goes ahead of you. The Lord goes before us. He steps into the hard places first. He leads the way so we can follow Him. He opens that path for us. And we often get it backwards. Sometimes we make our own plans and then we ask God to bless what we've already decided. I'd ask for a show of hands, but I think we would all probably raise our hands in this moment and say, oops, I'm guilty. But God, listen, He never plays catch up. He calls us to follow, not to lead. We don't lead God, God leads us. And when life gets uncertain, don't just ask, what should I do? Ask, where is the Lord already moving? Where is the Lord already moving? Because that is where you should step next. If you think back, if you've been here for a while and you remember here a couple months ago, we did the Jesus I Am statements, the sermon series on Jesus I Am. In John chapter 10, verse 4, it says, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We don't lead the Lord leads us. If you'd like to write this down, the presence of God is your path through the impossible. The presence of God is your path through the impossible. You don't have to tell us, but if you've got something that is seemingly impossible before you, would you just raise your hand? Anybody? Look around the room. The presence of God is your path through the impossible. Write that down. Hang that on your fridge. Put it on your mirror. Consume that every single day. The presence of God is your path through the impossible. Because he leads us, not follows. So what do we see? The priest, they step in. They take that first step into the river. The waters stop. And the people cross safely because God went ahead of them. But the story doesn't end when they crossed. God didn't just want them to move forward. He wanted them also to look back. He wanted them to look back and see what just took place. He wanted them to remember what he had done in their life. And that brings us to the third truth in today's message. Remember the miracle. If you don't have a journal, you should get one. So you can start writing down the things that the Lord has done in your life. Because we are to remember the miracle. And it's not just for us. See, God does not just deliver. He wants us to remember, but also to declare what he has done. Who knows that we are to share our testimony? Who knows when the Lord moves in our life, we're not to be silent about it. We're to share it. So after the people, after the Israelites crossed the Jordan, God gave them another command. He told them to choose 12 men, each one from each tribe of Israel, and have them go back into the riverbed while the water was still stopped up. And each man was to pick up a stone from the place where the priest had stood and carry it out. So go back into the river. Grab. You're going to find this in Joshua chapter 4. Go find yourself a giant stone and carry it out of the river. And they brought those stones to the camp and they stacked them as a memorial. Have you ever been to state park, national park? You got all these people that balance all the stones. You should think that, but you should think much bigger. Right? It's a memorial to what the Lord has done. And God didn't do that for a decoration. It wasn't to decorate the bank to say they crossed. He did it for declaration. He did it to make a declaration so that the future generations who saw the stones, who weren't alive during this time, who didn't experience this with the Israelites, they could come and they could say, what do those stones mean? And the people then could say, this is where the Lord our God made a way when there was no other way. What stones do you need to set up in your life so you can remember and you can declare of the Lord's goodness? If you don't have a journal, you should get one. And I'm talking to myself when I say that because I do a very terrible job. But the Lord wants us to declare of his goodness. We need that very same practice in our lives. And listen, it's not just to show future generations what took place, but who knows that sometimes we need to pause and remember what the Lord has done. Sometimes we hit our highest of highs and we need to remember that it's all the Lord. Sometimes we hit our lowest of lows. We don't know where the next meal is coming. We don't know where the next hope is coming from. And we need to look back and we need to see these other hard situations that the Lord has brought us through so we can know and rest assured to our feeble minds that the Lord has gone before us. He's going to see us through it. We need to remember the things that the Lord has done for us. Because guess what? Fear, it's going to come back. Fear is always going to creep in. Doubt is going to return. Challenges rise. And when they do, you need to be able to look back and remember the last time that the Lord carried you through. So if you're not keeping a journal, let me recommend that you do. But it's not just for you. No, see, this, your story. Now, for those of you sitting in here today who think that your story simply doesn't matter, here's what I need you to hear. You ready? Knock it off. Your story matters to somebody. Your story, your life, the things that you have walked through, it matters to somebody. So at the same time, we're all going to say, I matter. Count of three. One, two, three. I matter. You need to hear that. You need to embrace that. You matter to somebody. And it is what happens in your life. Your story matters to somebody. It could be your children, your friends, the people around you in your workplace who need to know that the Lord still moves, that He still speaks, that He still saves, that there's still hope for today. So your story matters to somebody. Don't be quiet. Don't keep your lips sealed, but instead, and listen, don't just write in your journal and put it away for a rainy day for yourself. Memorial stones, notice how those stones didn't get put up on a shelf. They didn't get put in the temple. It wasn't there for them, but instead it was on display because testimonies are meant to be shared. So if you have a testimony, guess what you should do? Share it. Put your stones out and let people say, why are those stones there? Well, let me tell you about the time that the Lord walked through this hardest moment in my life. And maybe you're walking through the hardest moment. And here's what I know, that the Lord goes before us, that the Lord will see you through, and He's going to make sure that you come through this because His presence goes before. They are a testimony that is meant to be shared. Part of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says this. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If you are not sharing your testimony with others, make that happen. And here's the greatest memorial that all of us have. Are you ready? The empty tomb. The empty tomb is the greatest memorial. It stands as proof that God's power is not stuck in the past. It is not stuck for yesterday. Jesus is alive, and if God raised Him from the dead, there is no situation too far gone for Him to move in your life. Let me repeat that. The greatest memorial of all is the empty tomb. It stands as proof that God's power is not stuck in the past. Jesus is alive. Amen. And if God raised Him from the dead, there is no situation too far gone for Him to move again in your life. I need you to grab hold of that today and take that with you. You can write this down if you want. God does not just want you to cross the river. He wants you to carry the testimony. He doesn't want you just to walk across the river. He wants you to carry that testimony with you. So they crossed. The Israelites crossed. They followed God's presence. They stepped out in faith, and then they remembered what He did. That wasn't just a moment in history that we get to read about today in our Word, in our Bible, but it's actually a pattern for us to live by. It's a pattern for all of us to put into practice. And that's what brings us to the application. We've got to apply what we've just heard to our lives today from God's Word. Here's the thing. We all have a river to face. We all have a river to face. We all have a step to take. And we all have a story to tell. If not now, then when? We're master procrastinators, guys. If not now, then when? So some of you right now, you're standing at the edge of something. You're standing at the edge looking at it seemingly impossible. You see what God has promised. You know what He has promised to you, but there's a river in front of you. There's a swelling river that's coming out of its banks that you're fearful that it's going to overtake you. Maybe it is fear. Maybe it's uncertainty. Maybe it is comfort that is keeping you from going over. How many times did we see the Israelites say, Moses, if you would have just let us stay in Egypt, our lives would have been just fine. By nature, we like to grumble about things, don't we? We like to stay where we're comfortable. So maybe it's comfort that's keeping you from taking that step. Listen, here's how I can encourage you. God is not asking you to have it all figured out. He's not asking you to know what's up. He is simply asking you to trust Him. He's asking you to take that next step in faith, even while the water is still moving. For others of you in here, it could be that the issue is not stepping, but it's actually following. You've been running ahead. You've been making your own plans, and you're hoping that God's going to catch up to you and start blessing what you've already done. But today, He's reminding us that His presence always leads, it never follows. It always leads, it never follows. And if you want His power, guess what? We need to walk in His direction. We can't walk the other way if we want His power. And then for some of us, the application is simple. You have forgotten. You have forgotten of the things that the Lord has already done for you. You crossed the river, but you didn't stop to pick up those stones. You moved on from that miracle instead of remembering it. Listen, today God is calling each of us to pause, to testify, and to hand our story to the next generation. God still stops rivers. He still stops rivers. He still makes a way, and He still calls His people to trust Him enough to take that step forward, to walk forward. Today, here's what we've seen. We've seen that faith steps first. We've seen that faith is always going to take that first step. And we know that God always leads the way. He doesn't follow, He leads. And then we must remember the miracle. See, the story of Joshua today, it reminds us that God does not leave us wandering alone in the wilderness, but He brings us into promise. No matter if it is 40 years or 40 seconds, He's going to lead you into that promise. But the way forward, here's the way forward. Ready? It's not north. It's always faith. The way forward is always faith. Always His presence. Always testimony. That is the way forward. And this just isn't the Israelite story. It's easy to say this is a great story that we see in the Bible. Clear back, way when. Listen, it's our story today too. Where is God calling you to take a step? What are you holding back that the Lord has said, just have faith and follow Me? And what do you need to remember so you can move forward into promise? These are all questions that we're going to have to wrestle with and we need to answer. But church, this is why we exist. This is why God has placed us right here in this community. We are not called to stay on the shore, safe and comfortable. If you think that's what we are, you're wrong. We're not here to be safe. We're not here to be comfortable. We want to be uncomfortable. We want to continue charge forward in the path that He has called us. We are called to step out, not just as a body, but individually. We're all called to step out, aren't we? We're called to follow God's presence. We're called to also tell others about His goodness, what He has done, testify of who He is in your life. And that right there, doing those three things, that is how you live out our mission of a church, of engaging our community for Jesus. Because the God who stopped the Jordan River, guess what? He still moves today. He still moves today. And He's calling us as a body to trust Him together. Can we do that this morning? As a church, can we cross into the promised land? If you would you stand to your feet this morning? I want to give everybody a chance of response here. Maybe today you realize that you're still on the wrong side of the river. The Lord told you to take that step long ago, but you're still on the wrong side. You have not yet stepped into a relationship with Christ Jesus. The good news is, He already went first. He's already gone there. He's already walked that path. He's already stepped into death so you could step into life. Salvation is not about earning your way across. Because who knows, it's nothing that we do that gets us there. It's not about earning your way. Instead, it's about trusting the one who made the way for you. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into the judgment, but is passed from death to life." This morning, if you've never asked Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to him, this is your moment. This is your chance to take that step. Don't wait. Cross the river. Don't hold back. Step into promise. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that is you this morning, would you please just raise your hand right where you're at? Is there anybody in the room? As we move to close this morning, there's a lot of us in here, and Alicia and I have been praying over each and every one of you. Even if I don't know your name, I prayed for you this week. If God is stirring something up in your life right now, if he's stirring something in your chest, in your heart, don't rush past it. He's doing a work. Maybe you need to take a step of faith. Maybe you need to let go and let God start leading. Maybe you just need to simply stop and remember what he's already done in your life. This morning, this is our moment to respond. You don't have to leave the way you came in. You can leave free and fully led by Christ. You don't have to leave that same way that you came in here this morning. So in the next few moments, I'm going to encourage you to come find a place to pray. Come find a place that you can get into his presence. Come stand in his presence. Kneel at your seat if you need to. Get somewhere where you can bring your surrender, bring your step, bring your story, and step into what God has for you. The altar is open. We are ready and willing to pray with you. It is your moment to make a decision. Am I going to sit in his presence, or am I going to stay and watch from the shore?